Hey, everyone. It's Naomi Wolf of Daily Cloud, and I'm really honored to be here with Representative Tim Baxter of New Hampshire. Welcome, Representative Baxter.
Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for being here. And Representative Baxter is a state representative, a small business owner, and he also runs a nonprofit called Second Chances, which is aimed at supporting people struggling with addiction. Is that correct? Did I get that right?
That is, yeah.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. So specifically, we reached out to you because one of your colleagues said there's some exciting developments in the fight for liberty in the state of New Hampshire. Please tell us about it.
Yeah, so I introduced legislation, an amendment to fight back against vaccine passports here in New Hampshire. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners know vaccine passports, they could discriminate against people flying, traveling, trying to get a job or to keep their job, or even something as simple as going to the supermarket. And I think most people recognize that it's very, very radical. Seniors in particular, could be discriminated against because they might not have a smartphone to be able to show a vaccine passport. And it's ironic, we see so many people that are upset about implementing something like voter ID because it could discriminate against marginalized groups. Well, imagine what a vaccine passport would do to those same groups. So we really have a decision as a society. Are we going to be a society that segregates people into groups and one group then discriminates against the other group because they make different medical choices? That's not right. So we're trying to stop that. So my legislation, it's actually been watered up in committee. Think about that. Usually things get watered down. I put forward legislation because we were worried that if we had a complete ban on vaccine passports with all private businesses, it wouldn't pass. As myself and some other representatives, as we started talking to some of the Republican members on the committee, we found a really good response. So we decided that we could potentially have the votes to just go forward with a complete ban. And there's going to be a vote on that Tuesday in committee. And we're cautiously optimistic that we'll get this out of committee and that we could potentially get it passed on the floor, and then it would go to the Senate and potentially the governor. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, but things are looking not bad right now.
That is amazing. And was there something that led you personally? I mean, here at Daily Cloud, we're all about helping people understand that they can make a difference and that they can move the dial, and that the personal is political, the political is personal. Is there something that made you personally think this is something I want to show leadership on? This is something I want to, you're taking a risk, in a way, because initially these were difficult bills to pass. So what made you think this is so important?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think just how important this issue is. I think it's okay if people want to take the vaccine, that's their choice. But, don't think for a second that this won't be expanded and abused and then exploited by politicians in the future. And what we're potentially talking about is a medical caste system. So, especially New Hampshire, which is the live free or die state, this is the last place that we should be implementing something like this. So I just felt so much urgency to fight back against this.
Yeah, and you work with people who have struggled with addiction. So you know what it's like to work with people or to know people who have been treated as second-class citizens in a society or discriminated against. Do you think that work affected your decision-making at all or not at all?
Maybe subconsciously. No one's mentioned that to me before. So it's a good point. But I ran for office. I felt compelled to fight back against corrupt politicians because there's so many politicians that are taking advantage of people constantly, growing their power by taking away our liberty and freedom. And especially as someone that's young, I really felt compelled to get involved in our political system and fight back. And it's the same thing here. Let's call them what they are. Vaccine passports are Orwellian. They're something out of a Orwell novel. They don't belong in New Hampshire. They're a violation of our bodily autonomy, our medical freedom, HIPAA. So we need to, send them to the trash can where they belong.
Absolutely. So Representative Baxter, you raise an important point. I've looked at these various laws, including the Equality Act. You mentioned HIPAA very correctly, the Americans with Disabilities Act. Aren't they already illegal? Why should legislators have to pass legislation to ban something that's already against the law? I've been confused about that.
Yeah, that's a good question. And some people on the left, I've kind of seen this from newspapers, like they said, Representative Baxter's introducing this legislation, even though there's no effort to implement vaccine passports. They try to spin it like this is sort of a PR stunt and there's nothing substantive here. I would say you look at the Constitution, right? The Constitution says clearly this is what government can do. And then what happens? The politicians do whatever they want to do. So if you want something to not be done, or if you want something done in a certain way, you have to spell it out crystal clear, because if not, businesses, corporations that are in bed with government or bureaucrats can try to implement their own agenda. So
gotcha.
We really,
exactly. Ahead.
Yeah. We just got to make it crystal clear so it doesn't happen here.
Something scary to me as I've been traveling across the country speaking to state legislators about these issues is that you see the same talking points in newspapers in Michigan, in Oregon. You know, in Michigan too, state representative tried to ban vaccine passports and the spin was there is no such thing planned. Well, it turned out they'd already made a digital database of everyone's vaccine records that they were already in, you know, state government was already in bed with big tech to monetize for big tech. So I think a lot of people watching this will totally agree with you that this is not a time to leave it all to, you know, the goodwill and constitutional behavior of our elected officials, and that it's very good to ban these things, especially because businesses, I'm here in Oregon, businesses have signs saying, you know, if you're not vaccinated, wear a mask. There's already discrimination. So it's really great that you're proactively keeping that from happening. Have you heard from constituents? Are people supportive or not supportive?
Yeah, I have heard from constituents. And just real quick, I want to touch on what you were saying with, you know, should we do this before it happens? You know, we look at like a vaccine registry that exists in New Hampshire. So, wow. You know, it's like, what are we supposed to think you're doing with this information? Right. And even if you collect it now and you're not doing anything with it now, you have the ability to use that information in the future. And politicians, we shouldn't just believe they're looking out for our best interests. I think most people have realized that's not the case. But in terms of public opinion, you know, first of all, there's too many politicians that they lick their finger and they stick it in the air. You know, my job, first and foremost, is to do what's right, to fight for my constituents in my state and to protect their liberty and freedom. So even if this isn't popular, leading is what's doing what's right, even when it's not popular. With that being the case, though, I've gotten support for this and I've gotten, you know, emails against it. But I think most people, I would say 2/3 of the feedback has been positive because people realize how radical vaccine passports truly are. And
they
that's been encouraging.
That's really good to hear because this is a new technology and it took a little bit of explaining. I think I'm sure you did a little bit of explaining to show people this isn't just like carrying around a card that says I've been vaccinated. This can take over your whole life, keep you out of the job market, keep you, as you said, from getting groceries. You know, as we've seen in Israel, a two-tier society within a matter of months. It's not science fiction, it's now. And look at New York. I live there and there is a vaccine passport and you are not allowed to see a Mets game if you don't have your vaccine passport. So an Orwellian dystopia can happen at the flick of a switch with these vaccine passports. So you're on the right side of history. Tell me, do you think this is a partisan thing? Have you heard from Democrats and Republicans, or do you think this transcends partisanship?
I think it's a type of thing where it's partisan among the politicians. I think the Democrat politicians don't necessarily reflect all their voters. There definitely is a segment of this country that is cuckoo when it comes to COVID. You can just look at the data with the poll numbers. 41% of Democrats think the hospitalization rate for COVID is greater than 50%. Wow. That's nuts. And they're not living in reality when it comes to what the actual data is with the virus. So you do see that with some voters. And, you know, it's ironic that the people in the media that say this is a non-issue. Well, a lot of people are really worried about it. So I don't think they think it's a non-issue.
Right.
But even, you know, I would say 75% of people, the vast majority of independents and some Democrats recognize that we shouldn't be discriminating in this way. Even if they think that people should get the vaccine, they don't want to force it on everyone. So that's been encouraging to see. But there's definitely that disconnect. You know, the Democrat politicians are all in favor of vaccine passports.
Wow, that's really scary. So given that, do you have the math in New Hampshire to get this passed and get it signed by the governor?
That's the million-dollar question. The first step is to get it out of committee on Tuesday. We're feeling good about that. The House in New Hampshire, we have a 400-person House, and it's sort of an activist legislature, which I really like that system, because the politicians, we make $87. You know, we're not even really, we're a public servant. And because of that, you get less corruption than most state legislatures, and you get a more diverse set of ideologies, even among both parties. So the question is, there are some, you know, I've heard from one or two Republicans that have said we should just mandate vaccines on everyone, which is horrible.
Wow. Jeez, that's full-on Nazi stuff. I can say it. I'm Jewish, but wow, it's terrible.
I mention that because the point is that we have about 213, I believe, of the 400 are Republicans, and there is a diversity of opinion. We've got a solid 100-person block that is rock solid liberty and freedom. But the rest of that group, will we have some people splinter off? It's going to be very neck and neck, and we're not sure right now. So we're just trying to make our case. The big thing is over 1,000 people have signed a petition to stop vaccine passports in New Hampshire. And they're saying essentially what we've been saying. We're sick and tired of politicians telling us which of our rights we're going to be allowed to keep. And we need to fight back against that. And the point of the petition is when we get supporters in some of these representatives that are wiffle-waffly in their district, they then know, hey, if you don't support our medical freedom, you might not return to Concord after the next election. So
that is so important. And I just want to chime in there, because this is part of our mission to tell people who are watching, it doesn't take millions of people to raise their voices to make a difference. If you sign a petition like Representative Baxter's, or we have a form on Daily Clout, we can add it to your bill on our national platform. If you want us to showcase your bill, it's up to you. People
That'd
can
be
add
fantastic.
Their names there. People can add their names there. And then what that does is Democrats, I'm going to say this, I'm a Democrat, but in this case, they're on the wrong side of history. They can see that their own constituents, people in their own district, are signing this, and that really moves the dial. As Representative Baxter said, it can take 50 names or 100 names for people to say, wow, you know, my constituents really care about this. So it's worth it. Every one of those emails, every one of those phone calls, every petition that you sign that goes to the representatives, right, is worth it. Wouldn't you agree, Representative Baxter?
Absolutely. Fear is the greatest motivator in politics. And a lot of it, so when we testify in committee, you know, a lot of these big associations, nurses, you know, corporations, the municipal association, they all came out against my legislation. So the representatives are thinking, oh, all these groups are against it. All these people, you know, I don't want to make these enemies. I don't want to vote against it. So even if they're more neutral, or even if they do think vaccine passports are a bad idea, they think, well, this isn't being implemented the right way, or the experts haven't looked at it enough or such and such. So getting that grassroots support reminds them, oh, wait, this is something that if I don't vote for this, I'm going to be in trouble. So I can stop listening to the lobbyists over here, and I actually have to listen to the people.
Yeah, very important. So Representative Baxter, nurses came out in favor of vaccine passports?
Oh, yeah, there's different associations, so I forget the specific ones, but there's 5 or 10 different medical groups that all came, their lobbyists or the leader for the association came and testified against the legislation. Hospice was another one. They were all, yes. Yep. I think hospice, there might've been a senior
That's
citizen,
shocking.
Like, yeah, all these big groups came out against it. People were worried about UNH because UNH is trying to mandate that you have to have your vaccine to go to graduation and then potentially
terrible.
To enroll.
Terrible.
Yeah, absolutely terrible.
Go to graduation? That is the worst thing I've ever heard. Isn't UNH a state school or doesn't get state funding?
It is. Yeah, it gets state funding. Yeah, the legislature funds UNH. And to me, that's, you know, if you're going to
discriminating.
That's what they want to do. Absolutely. And we need to stop that.
That is against every law. That's against Title IX, Title VII. That's shock. I'm truly shocked to hear that. Wow. Things are really bad in New Hampshire. I mean, they're bad in every state, but go ahead. I'm listening.
But you know, it's even worse than that. And that is really bad is they're trying to mandate in some cases, or they're trying to use social pressure to force kids to get vaccinated. So
this nationally, but in New Hampshire, this is happening.
Yeah. I've heard of stories of people I know where they have a 12-year-old daughter and the daughter comes home and says, "Dad, I want to get vaccinated. So-and-so, my friends are getting vaccinated. I won't be able to go to a sleepover at their house.
Oh,
my teacher is telling me I should get vaccinated. Dad,
no.
The vaccine clinic is next week." And so they're using kids, they're pressuring kids. And sometimes it's just organic because that's the culture that we've built in society.
Right.
And so we need to get back to the point where we're saying, look, it's none of your business if I'm vaccinated or not. And these vaccine passports have to go. And so representatives have to lead on this and set the example. And that's what we're trying to do.
Wow. I mean, I was shocked to hear the CDC director say kids should ask to be vaccinated. She said that, and she's a mom. I mean, this is evil. We're going to look back on this time as pure evil, the coercion. And yeah, if you're 12, you know, the social coercion of your teacher saying this should happen, or if you're 19 or 20 and you can't go to your graduation next year unless you're vaccinated, these are terrible things to be doing to our young people. I'm so glad you're standing up against it. So how can people, well, quick question before I go to that. It's none of my business how old you are, but some people watching might say, this is a younger person. If you are indeed a younger person, what was it that led you to, want to run? Was it hard to run? And is age any barrier or an advantage in legislating well?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'm 23. So I am pretty young. When I look 5 years older with the beard. I look, 16 or 18 without the beard. But as I mentioned before, I got involved because I was sick of so many politicians, corrupt politicians, taking advantage of people. That's all too often what politics is. And especially as someone that's young, I wanted to fight back against corrupt politicians and represent my constituents. So I just decided to run. I worked hard. I knocked 4,000 doors. I got out there. I told people, this is who I am. This is what I believe in. This is what I will fight for. And the people were lucky, or the people were gracious enough to give me an opportunity to represent them. So I love what I do. I'm having a blast. And I'm just going to keep fighting for people.
That's amazing. Was it really hard to run? Like, how does someone listening to this who, well, I guess New Hampshire is different, but can other young people in New Hampshire run like you did? How would they figure out how? Is it easy? Is it a mystery?
Yeah. You have to go through the process of learning. So I took a lot of different classes. There's different groups out there. The Leadership Institute, which is nonpartisan. Most of the people that take their classes are conservative, but you can be liberal, independent. They have really good courses on everything you would need to know. Yeah, that's a great resource. And I learned a lot from them. But I would say generally, never let someone tell you you're too young or too old to make a difference, because it's not true. And so I wanted to make a difference. I worked hard. I went through the process. I spent a lot of time listening, working on how can I run an effective campaign. And I went for it.
That's so exciting. And it doesn't take buckets of money, at least in New Hampshire, it sounds like. Did you have to raise millions and millions of dollars, or were you able to do it on a shoestring?
Yeah. No, I did raise money, and that's part of the process. And it's like anything else. I made thousands of phone calls. And some people say no, and some people say yes, but it isn't millions of dollars in New Hampshire, which is nice. The average representative that's new, it's maybe $5,000 or $3,000 that they raise. Very manageable. And if you want to make a difference, you can do it. You just have to work hard.
That's awesome. Well, my last question then is, wow, this is so important in New Hampshire, what happens. And it's so important that you get some Democrats joining you in the leadership, and also that people in the center and on the left contact their Democratic representatives, ideally, to move the dial on this. But how can people help you and your colleagues in passing this legislation? How can the people in New Hampshire help you?
Yeah, the number one thing would be to sign our petition, and then also to reach out secondary to your representatives as well. And folks that do live in New Hampshire that are represented by Democrats, let them know that the Democrat Party has always espoused the message of being against discrimination. And we're talking about wide-scale discrimination here. So this does not represent your values as someone that's looking for representation from their Democrat representatives. But signing our petition, even if you're not in New Hampshire, it shows that we have grassroots support to fight back against vaccine passports. It's so important, because that's the only thing is fear, because politicians, they see the amount of people that are saying, we're going to stand up against this, and that's going to make them vote the right way. We've got to show the politicians that if you're not standing with us and supporting our medical freedom, we're not going to let you go back to Concord after this next election. So please sign that petition, and contact, if you're in New Hampshire, contact your representatives also.
And we'll be posting a link to your petition, as well as, with your permission, your bill on our site to showcase to everybody to sign it as well when we post this video. Lastly, I promise, is there going to be any kind of event? We've been at events in Maine or New Hampshire. Are you going to host a rally? Is the State House open? I'm finding that people are really hungry after all this lockdown to be assembling and in touch with each other and gathering for a purpose. Any plans for that? Not to put you on the spot.
No, it's a great question. We had a medical freedom rally that I kicked it off. I'm talking about my work on vaccine passports. This was on May 14th, I believe, or May 15th. Uh-huh. So I'm sure there'll be more rallies. I'm just not sure at this time when the next one will be. But if there is another one coming up, I'll be sure to let you know.
Please keep us posted. Wonderful. And everybody, please, please, please take action, sign Representative Baxter's petition, call your friends and relatives. If you don't live in the state of New Hampshire, if you have any friends, contact Facebook friends, Twitter friends in New Hampshire, let them know about this. And the number of your bill, Representative Baxter?
It's an amendment. Yeah. So I don't know it off the top of my head, in part because now it's the new amendment that's been watered up.
So the new vaccine passports amendment will showcase it. Yeah, sorry.
Once you put an amendment into committee, it's no longer really your amendment. It becomes the committee's amendment, and then they can change it. So, and sometimes it can actually become stronger than you originally put in. Sometimes it gets watered down, and it's like, it's a total, it can do the opposite of what you said. So that's kind of where we're at right now in the process, just so your viewers can understand the process a little more.
That's really cool to explain that to us. Thank you so much. Is there a bill that exists then that it's amending, or is that not yet?
Yes. Yeah. So we'll get you the amendment that's being voted on Tuesday. Your listeners will be able to see that language, what it says right now.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, we can't thank you enough. Thank you for serving your community. Thank you for explaining this process and where it's at. And thank you for fighting for the liberties of the people of New Hampshire. And we'll do everything we can to support you.
I appreciate that. And it's my pleasure. And thanks for having me on today.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.